Well, as I said at the beginning of the service, we have this summer been kind of at the 10,000 foot altitude looking at the big picture, right? The big story, God's big story. We started in Genesis and went all the way to Revelation and named these major themes. And many of them kept cropping up in different ways. One of those themes that was in Genesis, repeated in Psalms and through the prophets and in Jesus and even in Revelation, was this idea of blessed to be a blessing. That was the covenant, the promise that God made with Abraham, and it's one that's passed on to us. And what I'm excited about now, having had that very broad approach to Scripture, is now to dive into the flowers, I won't call it the weeds, dive into the flowers of discovering what that means. What is God's blessing? We have often, when we hear that word, or we hear the old hashtag blessed that's been around for a couple of years now, we think of kind of the stuff we want. Good things coming our way, right? The promotion, or the new car, or just boatloads of cash, or whatever it may be. But what we want to do is dig into the biblical definition of blessing, which is rich and deep. I can't just say it's this, but it is the experience of seeking after and living within God's will and according to God's word. And God says, when you're doing that, you will be blessed. Now, again, it doesn't mean everything is rosy. We read of apostles in the New Testament who were in jail, but who were blessed because they were doing God's work. It's that blessed when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, right? And they were singing praises in prison because they were there because they had done God's work. So even when I say, well, it's being in God's will and word, that's blessed, we still, there's this pull to kind of paint our own picture of what that is. But what the Sermon on the Mount, these Beatitudes, are going to do is keep calling us back to God's definition of what blessed is. And even more importantly, how we can then in turn bless others in those ways. Because that's the challenge, right? That was the deal with Abraham. I'm going to bless you so that you can bless the people of the world. So we're going to dive in today. Today I'm really going to just give an overview of what are the Beatitudes, right? They're kind of a primer on what it means that we're blessed to be a blessing. And then in each of the next 9 weeks, we're going to look at one, a verse, a beatitude each week to kind of unpack that particular blessing. So today's a little bit different than what's going to follow. But I hope it'll set us up for a good study together. So there's really two parts this morning. I want to just look at the passage briefly, an overview, and then I want to leave you with a challenge, a blessing challenge. I'm going to try to do that every week as well. So first, to look at our passage today. Let me open this up. I'm going to back up just a little bit to Matthew 4, just because that sets the context there at the end. The last verse in Matthew 4 says that large crowds were following Jesus from Galilee, from Jerusalem, Judea, from beyond the Jordan, I mean, from all over. And this is very, very early in Jesus' ministry. So already, huge crowds were coming to hear him, maybe hoping to see a miracle, to see what he was about, maybe hoping for revolution. All those things that fascinated people about Jesus, he was already drawing a crowd. So when we get to chapter 5, where we started today, as he does on more than a few occasions, he withdrew from the crowd and went up on the mountainside. And then this is interesting. It says, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain and he sat down. That's rabbi for teaching mode, right? And his disciples came to him, because they recognized he's about to teach us. That's what rabbis do when they're about to teach. And their students gather around. And it says in verse 2, he opened his mouth and began to teach them. Right? So this sermon starts out with a teaching. Really, here's a great way to picture it. To his disciples, to his followers, with the background of the crowds from all these different places. So that's the context for these Beatitudes. Jesus teaching those who would follow him, so that includes you and me, about the world, about the crowds right around us. And then what he does as he goes through these is just this litany of who is blessed and how they are blessed. So, I'm not going to go into depth today, but for example, the first one in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. And immediately, I mean, if you haven't heard this a whole bunch in your life, if you're just kind of hearing it fresh, you think, well, how are the poor in spirit blessed? They're not driving a new car. They don't have a new donkey, whatever the case may be. Why would he say they're blessed? How about not the rich and powerful? They're blessed. But he says, no, the poor in spirit are blessed. And then he explains, how are they blessed? They belong to the kingdom of heaven. And like any good Jesus teaching, you hear that and you probably, it sends you away trying to understand it, trying to say, so what does he mean? I mean, he's speaking, you can tell Jesus is speaking truth. That's why people were drawn to him. But how do I become poor in spirit if that's such a great thing? Why are they blessed? Or another example, blessed are those who mourn. What in the world? I don't see somebody kind of weeping in the corner, and my first thought is, boy, they're blessed, right? Wish I could be them. But imagine if you are the one weeping in the corner. You're the one mourning, and God says to you, you are blessed because you will be comforted. That's the blessing that God gives to those who mourn, is he brings comfort. So Jesus is going to just go through this whole sequence. And each one, you know, it kind of is like, really? That's what blessing is? And that's part of what I want us to discover. It's not the things that we kind of quickly associate with that word. But Jesus is going to say, this is what it means to be blessed. And maybe even more powerfully, he says to us, when you're the one in this circumstance, right, when you're mourning, know that you're not alone. Know that God has not abandoned you. Know that God not only sees you, God comes to you and has declared his presence and his blessing with you and his response to whatever your situation is going to be. That's blessing. So the first thing I hope each of us get from this is our own sense of how much God cares for our situation, right, and comes to us and meets us. At least one of these, I'm guessing, you'll latch on to and say, that's what I'm going through right now. And what good news that God sees me and knows me and blesses me in this circumstance. The second part of that, because we always want to add that love our neighbors as our self filter, is to then realize when we look around and survey the crowd, remember that's the context for this, and we see people who are hurting, who are weeping, who are being persecuted, that we see with the eyeglasses of God and see, well, if God can come to them and meet them and declare, I am with you for good and I'm blessing you, then that's our opportunity as well. So your natural first pass is what's in it for me. But again, I think what Jesus would call us to is then to survey the crowd and say, if God has blessed me so much, how can I be a blessing outward? I would also highlight, and we'll see this in the coming weeks, that a number of these Beatitudes, he is describing people who are in the act of themselves blessing others. And he says, that's blessed. So, for example, blessed are the merciful. Well, someone who is merciful is someone who is showing mercy. So he's saying that act of giving away mercy, of blessing another, that's good. God blesses that. So it's woven in here, this whole blessed to be a blessing idea, right? That it's not just get what I can from God or get what I can from the world, but the whole kind of fabric of God's love is that we give it away. The whole purpose of blessing is to give it away. Because it's not something you can exhaust, right? Well, God gave me a little bit, and if I give it away, I won't have it anymore. That's not how it works. It multiplies out. And then finally, if we miss the whole invitation to give it away, where this ends, and we'll do this our last week, kind of in the next section, is verses 13 and 14, where he gets out of the Beatitudes, but the next thing he says to his disciples is that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. In other words, if you're following me, your purpose in being here is to season and to bless and to illumine the crowd, the world around us. So kind of from top to bottom, all this is designed to say, this is how you live out that ancient promise to Abraham and you know, carried on through to Jesus' day and beyond, is that God sees us and meets us and comes to us to bless us so that we can then extend that to the world. So that's overview. Blessing challenge. What I'd like to do is each Sunday to invite you, to challenge you, to think of one way that God says that you are blessed. And it's going to be different because you're all different, right? But for you to think in your mind and to leave here today at least with one way that God has blessed you. And I want to invite you, if you can name that, to receive it and to accept it, to welcome it, to live it. And then the challenge part is I challenge you to spend the week looking for one opportunity to share that blessing with another person. So if you need help with that, if you need help identifying how God has blessed you, take this home with you. The two scripture passages today are full of blessings, right? From Isaiah, it talks about God's blessing for the afflicted, the brokenhearted, the captive, prisoner, those who mourn. This long list of how God has blessed those. And then the Beatitudes, the other scripture passage, names all these circumstances and situations we're in. It talks about what God's blessing looks like. So if you need some help coming up with, I don't feel blessed. How in the world has God blessed me? See if you can't find something in one of those lists. Here's an example. It's not specifically on the list, but I didn't want to steal your choice today. Here's an example. I don't always feel lovable or lovely, but God says in Scripture that He loves me. That is a blessing. God loves me even when, never mind feel, even when I'm not lovable or lovely. God says, I love you. So if that's a blessing that I've identified, that's today's, this week's, now the challenge is, can I find at least one opportunity this week to either in word or action bless someone else who may feel unlovely or be unlovable, to communicate to them both that God loves you and I care about you. That's the receiving the blessing and sharing it, right? So each week, I want to challenge you in a different way. How has God blessed you? And is there one opportunity? Can you look for one opportunity this week to share that blessing with another person? I think if we can do that over the next 10 weeks, it will both revolutionize our own lives and experience of faith and those around us as well. And I'm pretty sure that's why Jesus taught this to his disciples. And certainly he did revolutionize the world.